You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Ask a Black Doctor with Dr. Bukasi Dubé and myself, DJ Ambush. How are you doing this week, Doc?
Man, I'm doing well. It's good to be here. You know, Wednesday is one of my favorite days because of, you know, just getting to hang out with you, getting to talk to folks, educate folks, and getting to learn about, you know, what questions are coming in from the community. I'm doing well. And good. It's sunny in Portland.
That's what I was going to mention. I just spent a little time outside. Yeah. One of my coworkers was like, get outside, make sure you spend some time outside in the sunlight. And it was really, really good. Happy to see the sun peeking through.
how are you doing?
Good. Really, really good. I'm feeling really encouraged with, you know, what the next couple of weeks is looking like for us as far as events and things like that here at the station.
Yeah.
And I am definitely starting to feel more comfortable being around more people based on the conversation we had last week and last week's episode. I'm just less, you know, I'm just less fearful. And I'm hoping that that energy and that this information, you know, spreads those feelings amongst other members of our community. Like, I spent a lot of time over the last couple of years just feeling unsafe around people because I didn't trust, you know, individual decisions and, you know, I trust science, and now science is telling us we've kind of reached a point where just about everyone has had it. we're not worried about any new variants at the moment.
Yeah.
And it's safe to, you know, be around people more frequently and be around more people, period. And, you know, yeah, if you want to feel extra safe, definitely still wear a mask, which is what I'm doing. I'm still going outside.
Yeah, totally.
Mask, things like that.
Yeah.
But
I'm glad to hear that you're feeling safer in the world, because the numbers are definitely showing us that things are much better. If you look at the number of people who are hospitalized, I mean, as of yesterday, we had about 270 people in the hospital. This is in Oregon, of course.
Right.
Which is a significant drop. I mean, a massive drop from where we were in mid-January at the peak of the Omicron surge. Right. And then you also look at the number of new cases. I mean, yesterday we reported about 400 new cases. When was the last time we had that many new cases?
Right.
I mean, that few new cases. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to see that. And at the same time, you know, we also have to acknowledge that we've hit certain milestones that are quite scary. Yesterday, there were 29 deaths reported. Mm. And we are almost at 6 million people who have died worldwide from COVID-19. At least the cases that we know of, right? 6 million reported cases. You know, may those people rest in peace. May their souls rest in peace.
Definitely.
At the same time, there are a lot of things that we could have done as a society to try and reduce those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm hoping is that those of us that did everything we could, you know, had an influence on those that maybe were a little bit slower to pick up the habits and the mandates. And next go around, there'll be, you know, a fewer number of people that are resistant to doing what's necessary to keep the entire community safe.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, so we got some, this is the last week of the mandate for masks. By the time you hear this episode, it'll be the last day. It'll be the 11th. And then we'll be going into a maskless weekend. I heard there's some big changes in the COVID-19 pandemic in Oregon. Of course, March 12th is the end of the mandate. We talked about some of it last week. You want to refresh everyone on what exactly we're looking at?
Yeah, so the two main things, at least with regards to the masks, right, where coming, after March 12th onwards, masking indoors in public spaces will no longer be mandatory. It'll be strongly recommended for certain folks, but no longer mandatory. So that's one. Two, the thing is we're pausing quarantining in most situations, as long as you are asymptomatic. So that includes schools, childcare settings, and any other situation out there, as long as you're asymptomatic.
Right. So as long as you're asymptomatic, everyone, if you're exhibiting symptoms, whether it's COVID or pretty much anything else, it's still safer for everyone for you to just stay home and stay away from people. You don't want to spread any disease, nevertheless, any of the COVID strains that we're dealing with. How was isolation different from quarantine? And why exactly is quarantine pausing?
That's a good question, right? So a lot of people, this has been very confusing for a lot of folks. So isolation refers to, you know, separating oneself from others after getting infected. That's very, very important. After getting infected. So you test positive or you have symptoms that are consistent with COVID-19. You isolate yourself to protect others from getting COVID-19. And then quarantining is staying away from others after you've been exposed, right? Even before you show symptoms. Mm. So we know that the vast majority of people who get exposed don't end up getting COVID-19. So that's why that's ending. That's part of the reason why that's ending. What we've found is that most people, with most people being vaccinated and or infected, right, within the last 5 or so months with the Omicron surge, it's no longer, it doesn't make sense to continue with the contact tracing that we're doing and with the quarantining that we're doing. But what's important, right, is that if you have symptoms, you have to stay away from others. You have to isolate yourself.
I'm glad you touched on contact tracing, because I was just about to ask, how important is it that we're still testing and reporting the results of our testing as we can to some of these apps or websites or any of that? How important is it to still do that?
Oh, it's important, especially if you test positive, right? Because you are protecting others. You're protecting those that are immunocompromised. So that's the reason why you report those cases. You report yourself as a case to public health folks if you test positive. And also if you need time from work, right? You have proof to show that I actually did do a test and yes, it was positive. And yes, public health has that information. And lastly, if you need what we call wraparound services, if you need rent assistance, if you need, you know, assistance with your bills, it's if you have that record showing that you actually tested positive, then it's much easier for medical folks to rally and get you wraparound services in that case.
Excellent. So, I mean, we're doing away with the mask mandate, and we are speaking of course, the importance of still testing. But this doesn't mean that the pandemic is over.
Oh, no. No. We may be entering the endemic stage of the pandemic of COVID-19. So it's no longer a pandemic. It's now an endemic, we hope. Obviously, the virus has its own way of functioning,
yes,
and it has its own timeline.
Yeah.
So we have to be mindful of that. the pandemic is not over just yet. And we still have to be mindful of the fact that there are people who, are immunocompromised. There are people who need to be protected for one reason or another. And so, if you live in a congregate care setting, or if you live with folks that are immunocompromised or elderly folks, then you should continue wearing masks so as to protect them.
So what does this mean with regards to vaccines and boosters? For some of us, we are three shots in. Are we still looking at possibly getting another booster within 6 to 9 months? Or are we still on track to be just regularly getting booster shots?
You know, that's a very good question. I like that question because we know that with certain illnesses like the flu, right, we get annual flu shots for a reason, right? To ensure that if you were to get the flu, you don't end up getting as sick as someone who is not vaccinated. This may be the case with COVID-19 or the coronavirus, that we will need maybe an annual shot just to boost the system, boost your immune system to protect yourself from getting a severe case of the coronavirus. So there's a lot of information coming out. There's a lot of work that's going in. Scientists and doctors are working on this, and epidemiologists are working on this. And we will know more sooner rather than later. And this is what I was talking about earlier, and I was talking about entering the endemic stage of COVID-19 as opposed to exiting the pandemic stage of this whole nightmare.
Yeah, it definitely has been one. If a new variant comes along that's more transmissible than Omicron, do you think OHA will reinstate the mask requirement?
Yeah, so I was actually talking about this yesterday. So probably, yeah, the answer is probably yes. However, we have to wait and see what science shows us. If there's something more transmissible that is spreading and causing our hospitals to be overwhelmed, our medical system to be overwhelmed, then yes, it would make sense to reinstate masking mandates and all other mitigation factors. We have talked about in the past about the stealth Omicron, that's also known as a BA2. And right now we're currently monitoring that in Oregon. We haven't seen that we haven't seen that many cases of this stealth Omicron. So we're monitoring it, and we'll see what happens with it. So more information to follow.
So a safe assumption, and it's just an assumption, would be that this variant isn't as transmissible because we're not seeing that many cases?
Actually, it's thought to be a little more transmissible than the original Omicron, the BA1, which is the original Omicron. What we have seen, though, is that in places where the original Omicron BA1 was the first one to, where it took over that population, we haven't seen BA2 take over when it's introduced. Of note, we are watching what's happening in South Africa very closely, because they are seeing a slight uptick in BA2. Remember, in November of last year, BA1 was first identified in Gauteng province in the Johannesburg area.
Right. Okay. So the mask mandate will be lifted, but there are some of us that still want to wear a mask, and it's advised, depending on you know your condition, that you do keep a mask on you. We just finished talking about vaccines still being available. Is OHA still going to be able to provide masks? Just because, you know, the mandate is gone, there's the accessibility to these supplies disappear as well?
Oh, so that's a very important question, because in partnership with the federal government, the state of Oregon will continue to provide high quality masks for folks through CBOs. Those are community-based organizations. And we know that a lot of these organizations, the name is community-based organizations, right? Mm-hmm. They're community-based, they're in the community, they know what people need, they know where people are, and they can respond to the needs of the people. So OHA is ensuring that these community-based organizations have masks readily available and at no cost to folks that they're serving.
Are there any other supplies, like gloves, tests, anything else that they may be providing?
Ah, so you bring up, remember about 4 weeks ago or so, President Biden gave us free tests for everybody. Yeah. Now there is, if you got your free test the last time around, now you can order new free tests on the website. We'll be sure to include that information with this episode so that people can log on and order their free tests.
Okay. All right. I feel like we're getting one step closer to the federal government just dropping off tests with these CBOs and letting them handle it. But
hey,
it's baby steps. We're getting there.
That was kudos to DJ Ambush and to Dr. Bonner for talking about that, because that's the best way to do it, right? Because they're the ones in the community.
Exactly.
And the fact that, you know, you have community-based folks like DJ Ambush and CDC folks saying that this is the right thing to do. Yeah. Maybe we can take a page from you, my man.
We'll see. Fingers crossed. What advice can you give for someone that may be experiencing some level of harassment because they're continuing to wear masks after the requirements are lifted?
So it's important for folks to respect other people's right to wear masks if they so choose to, if they choose to do that, right? It's an individual right to wear a mask, whether or not the pandemic is around, whether or not we're experiencing a surge with the COVID-19.
Right.
I can tell you that if I am in large indoor gatherings with where there's poor airflow, I'm going poor ventilation, I am going to be wearing a mask. I'm not taking my mask off in such settings. I can assure you that, hey, now that the weather is getting more beautiful and, you know, we have much fewer cases in the community, our percent positivity rate is going down, the number of cases are going down, I'm going to go out and eat outdoors. I'm going to go out and enjoy a meal at a restaurant outdoors, because all the public health information is saying, hey, it's now safe to do that. But the important thing to note here is that it's very, 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 it's extremely important that we respect other people's right to do as they please to protect themselves, meaning to wear masks if they need to wear masks. If you feel threatened in any way, there are ways of engaging law enforcement to ensure that you get the support that you need. Calling 911, for instance, or if it's a workplace issue, you can file a complaint through the Bureau of Labor and Industries, BOLI, and the number we'll provide that number to go along with this episode. But the important thing is, you have the right to wear a mask if you so choose.
Right. I think you really touched on something that I think would be a really good discussion point for anyone experiencing those types of challenges. You know, people have been saying it's been their individual right not to wear a mask. I think using that exact same premise, that exact same reasoning, if you were confronted to say, hey, this is my individual right to wear one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm not affecting you by wearing this mask, if you could just continue on your way, we both can have a good day. It's just, you know, this is my individual right. This is what I need to do for my safety. You don't know my health condition. You don't know my health history. I just want to wear a mask.
And you don't know if I live with somebody who's right. Immunocompromised, right?
Right.
So I urge folks to treat each other with grace and allow folks to wear masks if they so choose.
Seriously. Yeah.
You know, my 11-year-old asked me if the masking mandate comes down, will I require him to wear a mask at school? And I say, dude, do I have to play public health officer even when I'm at home? No, but it's a serious question, right?
Yeah.
I told him that, you know, given that at his school they have 96-97% vaccination rate, and they've seen very, very few cases at his school due to the high vaccination rate and due to other mitigation factors, good ventilation and physical distancing, good hand hygiene, he should feel safe in following the school guidance. If the school says that they're not going to require masks, then he should feel free and comfortable not to wear his mask.
Yeah, yeah. I know my daughters. They're going to finish the year out remote. I think next year they'll be going back for in person, and I anticipate them probably wearing masks, you know, as frequently as possible.
Yeah,
they like me, you know. Hey, if we can avoid catching anything, it doesn't need to be Omicron. If we can avoid catching anything when we're in large groups of people, why not just wear a mask?
Yep, yep.
So there have been conversations in the news recently at the federal level with the president, and then also at the state level, different governors and different mayors asking people to return to the workplace, return back into office spaces, get back in these metropolitan areas, and no more working from home. Working from home was obviously had a really great impact on mitigating the spread. What are the concerns? Do you have any concerns with this urge to push people back into the workplace? Because here's the thing. I think just looking at the way we used to work, you know, cubicle to cubicle, depending on, you know, your work environment, you could have as many as 80 to 100 people on one floor. You know,
yeah, yeah.
To imagine that in the middle of the pandemic, being in a room with that many people, you would, you know, we'd be sweating bullets. No one would be comfortable in that situation.
It's going to be different, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can imagine if you're being asked to come back into an office work environment, that needs to look differently now, right? It needs to look and feel safer. And
yeah,
having so many people crammed in, like, so what's how do you feel about that?
You know, we have seen in the Great Resignation, right, during this pandemic, where folks have said, you know, I'm done with this. I'm not doing this. It's an employee's market right now. A lot of places don't have enough employees. And so they have to cater to what folks are asking for. And if your job can be done away from the office, if your job can be done at home and you can still be as productive, I would strongly encourage any business to allow folks to work from home, because, we've seen that productivity has gone up during this pandemic, especially when people have worked from home. So employers have to be mindful of that, for one. Two, they also have to create, like you said, a safe environment where people don't feel crammed like sardines and don't feel safe in that environment. So it's important for folks to make their wishes known to their employers and because right now it's an employee's market. They can pick up and go to the next employer who will gladly accommodate their wishes to work from home.
Right. Because, I mean, what we're talking about now is a safe work environment, right?
Yep.
Any employer knows you got to have your OSHA poster up for slip and falls. For some of us that still had employees through the pandemic, we needed to provide whatever we could as far as PPE, so gloves, masks. We had HEPA filters here at the station, but there's no requirement here, especially with the way we're doing things, that I had 15 people in this room and everyone needs to sit down at their desks and do their job. Because if I can't see you, then I don't know if you're working. Like, you know, it just isn't that type of relationship. So in the interest of creating safer work environments, I do think it's going to take some imagination on the part of some of these larger companies, larger employers, allowing some of their workforce to stay at home, or maybe working half weeks where some of the workforce does come in and other members don't. But yeah, I agree. There's going to have to be some changes in order to make this work.
Yeah, totally. Totally. The folks that I supervise, I've encouraged them to say, you know what, if it makes sense for you to work from home some days of the week, then do so. There's a lot of benefit, right, to being in the office, to being in, you know, in the same space. Mm-hmm. You can walk down the hallway instead of sending an email. You can walk down the hallway and knock out 10 things. I mean, from a very short conversation, if you had sat down to craft an email, and you know, it's going to take you a little longer. So it's there are benefits to both, and we just have to be as employers, as supervisors, as you know, we have to be mindful of all those things.
Yeah. Are there any other things outside of wearing a mask that immunocompromised people should do to stay safe, especially if they're unable to get vaccinated?
Yeah. So that's a good segue to talking about some of the therapeutics that we have. Mm-hmm. So the most important thing that you can do is, most important mitigation factor is vaccination, right? Get vaccinated. And we've talked about, you know, the vaccine protocols. We've talked about how often you should get vaccinated. And then, of course, you know, wear your mask, good hand hygiene, physical distancing, avoid traveling if you don't have to, if you're immunocompromised, right? And then the other thing is, we have these oral medications that have become available, readily available to most folks, that are made by, one is made by Pfizer, the other one is made by Merck, and they're very, very effective at preventing the progression of the disease. So folks who are immunocompromised, if they get it, if they're to get COVID-19, getting those medications really quickly at the beginning of the illness can prevent severe illness, can prevent hospitalization. So that's one really good way of protecting yourself and making sure that you don't end up in the hospital or don't end up dying. Then, of course, there are monoclonal antibodies that have been around for a while, and those typically are available via infusions. And we have a few that are one or two that are available via injection, and they've been found to be effective. And found to save a lot of lives, save folks from having more severe illness.
That's awesome. While we're talking about that, before we close out, I want to talk about long COVID for a little while.
Yeah.
What can be done? And actually, how do we address people dealing with symptoms as a result of long COVID? So this medication came out that helps lower what you're dealing with once you contract it. For people that wasn't accessible at the time, and now they have symptoms as a result of long COVID, what's the research, and what are the is there any positive news going in that direction to deal with some of those symptoms that people are dealing with?
Yeah, so there's a really good article that came out recently talking about brain activity and what happens after getting COVID-19. Okay. And unfortunately, it's not very good news, right? We're seeing these images that show significant decline in brain activity after getting COVID-19, and in people who had very mild symptoms as well. So this speaks to the long COVID issue and why some people experience significant forgetfulness, fatigue, you name it, right? The most important thing you can do is one, get vaccinated. By that protects you from getting long COVID, right? Then the other thing is go to a center where they're studying this so that you can participate in the trials. Here in Oregon, we have OHSU, which is Oregon Health Sciences University, excellent center where they're studying long COVID. They have a big grant to study long COVID, and the information that they're gathering that's coming out from those studies is going to be very, very helpful in helping folks, in ensuring folks recover fully from this post-viral illness.
Yeah, well, that's good news. That's great news to hear. You know, people are working on it. They're on the case.
Yep.
With the particular symptoms, is the science, is the method to address those specific symptoms or the underlying infection that is COVID? Like, what, how exactly do they go at that? Do you know?
So with regards to long COVID, mm-hmm. So the mechanism is not fully understood. Okay. We have seen this happen with other viruses. We know that it's a post-viral illness, but okay. the mechanism is not fully understood. What the treatment has been to try and support folks with whatever it is that they're struggling with.
Okay,
right? It's called supportive care. So if you're getting fatigued, you know, teaching patients or clients how to pace themselves so that they don't exhaust themselves, so that they don't, you know, push themselves too much. Or if they're experiencing brain issues, right, sending them to a neurologist or psychologist mm-hmm. or a physiatrist who can help them with the skills that they need, the skills training that they need to deal with whatever issue that they're dealing with.
Okay. This is good to hear. Very, very good to hear. Thank you so much, Doc. And like you said, we'll have all the information in the comments and caption. I'm sorry for the episode. Is there anything else you want to leave our listeners with before we close out?
It's the same thing always, man. Make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you take care of, if you're able to, make sure you take care of somebody else. There are a lot of people who are going through a lot of difficult things. And you never know who you're helping out. You never know how big of a difference you could be making. So take care of yourself and take care of those around you.
Exactly. Let's be respectful to each other. Those who wish to wear masks, let them wear masks. Those who don't, let's not harass them. Okay? All right. We will catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.